This is episode 30 of Two Girls Talking. I'm Katie Kiley from 97.1 The River in Atlanta, Atlanta's classic hit station. And my good buddy Melissa Ruggieri is with me. She's the music critic for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who also does the music scene blog at AJC.com. We are Two Girls Talking. And this week, it happens to be, as we're recording this, Melissa Etheridge's birthday. And you and I spoke to her, gosh, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was around the time, right after her new album came out, The Medicine Show, in April.
This is number 15 for her, right?
Yes, it is. Actually, it's her 15th studio album. And you know, it's funny, I actually have a soft spot in my heart for Melissa that goes back to 1994. She was the first professional, I'll say, interview story I did for the Sun Sentinel. It was like my first big interview story for a major daily newspaper. I'd talked to a bunch of people, like, you know, rock stars in college and done stuff for the entertainment pages, but hers was the first big feature I was assigned. And I just remember trying to make that story so perfect.
Because that first album was so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She just hit the radio. I'm kind of surprised she didn't go stratospheric, although she's the kind of person that maybe wouldn't want to, you know,
Well, this was right after Yes, I Am came out in 93, and I think that was really her big breakthrough. You know, I mean, Bring Me Some Water was a big rock hit.
Yeah, but like The Way I Do, I just remember all the songs that we played. And I got to interview her when she first came out, and she hadn't come out yet, actually, interestingly enough. But but she was just very soft-spoken, kind of shy, and then this big, belty voice. She's a great artist, just a fantastic singer and songwriter and
she is,
player.
And I remember being a little intimidated talking to her back in 1994 because she was a little reserved. And you know, and she still is in a sense. You know, we had a lovely chat with her and you know, she was fine. But she's not somebody who's going to be overly talkative. You know, sometimes we get those interviews with people and they go off.
Look at each other like, are they going to stop?
You know, love Mickey Hart. But sometimes they go off on these tangents and you're like, wait, what was the question again? I don't remember what we were talking about. Whereas just Melissa's just very to the point. She's just very, you know, you ask her the question, she answers it. She's pleasant about it. And that's kind of all you're going to get from her.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of chit-chatty conversation that goes on. But you know, I mean, live is really, because like you say, even though it took till like 93, 94 for her to really get big on radio, those rock songs that you were playing before that, she was really known for her live performances. I mean, that, you know, she's one of those people who did it the old-fashioned way of just playing to seven people in the club for however many years in Kansas, you know, until one day.
In 1988 was the first year.
Yeah.
That's when the first album came out. So you're saying 6 years later, it took her that long. But I love that she's just part of the fabric of some really great things that happened over the years. Like, it's kind of like a Sheryl Crow, where, although Sheryl Crow was way more commercial, where big events would happen and Melissa Etheridge would be there singing. I'm trying to think of one
9/11.
Of the ones right now.
Actually, after 9/11, because I went back up to New York since I was there for 9/11. And then a month later, my cousin and I went back up when they were doing the concert for 9/11 at the Madison Square Garden. And she was one of the performers there. Like, pretty much any 9/11 event that took place with music after that, she was always participating. I mean, and you're right. It's like any type of charity thing or any type of visible public, you know,
where all these artists or actors would get together. She was always part of it, or always is.
Yeah.
And I love that about her, because she's written some very heartfelt songs that go right along with what's happening in the world. And that's what this album is about, really.
I know. I mean, the song on their last Hello, it's dedicated to the survivors of the Parkland shooting. And we talked to her a little bit about that. And then, of course, the song The Medicine Show, the title track. What a great way to kick off an album. I mean, this is a foot stomper. And she's been playing it in her encore. And we asked her, you know, I asked her, because I thought it was such a great opener that, like, why would you wait until the encore? And like she said, you know, people are coming to the show to hear familiar stuff, so you don't want to hit them outright
with a brand new song.
With a brand
but it comes
new song.
Out really well on the album. When
it
you
does.
Hear it, when you hear this, you'll love the music. She does a great job of putting it in the order that she really wanted it to be in and to be effective. Her ballads are beautiful. I mean, I really love this whole album.
It's a really great album. It's really strong. I think it's one of her better ones in the last few years. And she is always so civic-minded, you know, and you know you're going to get something of lyrical depth when you listen to one of her songs. And that delivery, too, you know, even when she's doing the ballads, that raspy voice of hers is so powerful, no matter if it's up-tempo or not, you know. And we talked to her. You actually asked her about her voice and keeping it in the shape that it's in. And it's, you know, it's pretty remarkable. So she turned 57 on Wednesday. And she still sounds like Melissa Etheridge, and that's not an easy feat for her.
After all, since 1988, over 30 years. Well, we loved talking to her, and so let's see what you think about listening to this interview with Melissa Etheridge.
Hi, Katie and Melissa. It's Melissa.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm so good. How are you?
We're great. Melissa, I've got to give you a little background with me. I worked at 96 Rock in Atlanta, and you came in to do an interview with me in 1988. I still have the pictures of it. It's so cool that we're both still doing the same thing. I've really been following your career, and I feel like we both got blonde at the same time. We both had breast cancer at the same time. I haven't come out of the closet, but aside from that, we have a lot that's been happening, and so I'm so excited to talk to you. Really, congratulations on your 15th record.
Oh, thank you so much, and congratulations you're still there, and congratulations that Atlanta is still rocking.
Yeah, absolutely. Atlanta loves Melissa Etheridge, that's for sure.
I know, and it seems like it's been a couple of years since you've been here, hasn't it?
I tend to travel the world, and I just come to Atlanta about every 2 years. Yeah.
Well, you know, this new album, it really packs a wallop with that opening song,
yeah.
Especially. And then I looked at your set list and I see that you're actually saving that for the encore, though. So does it just seem to be working better as the comeback for the encore rather than a show opener?
You know, it's funny. I can write an album and I can put it out. And yet I've got a 30-year career here. And a lot of people will come to the show and not even know that I have a new album out.
Yeah.
So I have to slowly bring this album in and hopefully get people to where, oh, they know the songs. Yet, what I see with this album is a lot of people really like it. And I was actually thinking before I called you that I might start tonight with one of the new songs. But I'm not ready to start with Medicine Show yet, not until I know that everybody knows that song and just wants to go E-I-E-I-O, you know.
It's a great sing-along. I mean, that's the thing.
And it's
a short song, so it really is a great attention grabber. But, you know, it's funny, Katie's just talked about, you know, how long she's known you. You were actually, one of my first feature stories that I ever wrote professionally was in 1993 when, you know, your big album came out. And so it's like, I feel like kind of I have this history with you too of just these great memories of your whole career. And like you say, I mean, it's been 30 years. You've done so much stuff and yet you're still rocking, man.
Thanks. We've had a great life, haven't we? It's been 30 awesome years.
But, you know, this record, listening to it in its entirety, which I did, I just thought I'm going to immerse myself in it and hear it
the way you
recorded it. You're welcome. And I loved it. I thought your voice, your guitar playing, everything. How are you keeping your voice as strong as it is? Because mine is certainly, well, not, I've got a cold right now, but over the years, it's really hard to do that. You must really take good care of yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I realized when I went through breast cancer that health is the absolute most important thing. And I saw that the healthier I kept my body, the healthier my voice and my ability to sing was. So I knew that was absolutely connected. So it's about what I eat on the road. It's, you know, it's about things as boring as sleep, drinking enough water,
yep.
You know, all those things.
It's so strong. I was just thrilled to hear the whole thing and go, she is not lost. If anything, I feel like it's even better than ever.
I think it's better. I listen to myself 25 years ago and I go, ooh, my voice is better because I'm healthier. I don't know why, but I like getting better as I get older. I dig that.
It's a pretty great thing, and it's a nice thing to leave for other people to see, too. One thing, Melissa and I were just interviewing somebody else. I'm not sure who it was, and we were asking about the way you play songs on an album, and we said,
right, the track list.
How important is it for you to do that? And they were saying, well, you know, now that people can kind of cherry-pick songs, it wasn't as important, but I can tell it's very important to you. Tell us about the way you laid this album out.
Because there's people like you that will give me the time, that will say, look, I want to sit down with this album because you remember me as that's your friend that I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I've got the 50 minutes to tell you a story, and I want to make you feel a certain way. I want to take you on a journey. I want you to feel that that's what I am as an artist for you. And so I do. It took me I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of making an album is the sequence. And really important how the message goes, how, you know, you have a response of one song. It's one reason I had to put The Last Hello as the last song, because I got to give you a minute after that song. You know, you got to. That's going to leave you feeling a lot of ways, you know?
Yes.
That is such a poignant message to be left on, because I also listened to the full album the other day, too, start to finish. And it resonates with you. And I love the layout of it because, yeah, I'm somebody who grew up listening to albums, and I guess you're the same way. I mean, that's just what we're used to. I'm not used to going online yet and just picking out a single.
Yeah. I think our generation still takes music in as big chunks. You know, as an artist can create a work, not just one song, but can make you feel a certain way for a while.
What I noticed too, there are a couple of songs on there that are very anthemic. I was like, okay, you got this big message, of course, with Medicine Show, the very beginning. But then the other one, Love Will Live, what a great song. But these are like anthems. I feel like you're standing up and going, wah! You know? Tell us.
Love Will Live is very much inspired by the last couple of years and the Me Too movement and the Time's Up and all. I just sort of the feminine aspect of our culture rising up and saying, "Ooh, we're not gonna hold these dark, ugly secrets anymore. That's not what we're gonna do. We're not gonna die under this. We're not gonna become darkness. We're gonna live and be productive." And I wanted that message to get through because there's a lot of victimness and victimhood that we could fall into, and I didn't want to shine light on that. I wanted to shine light on coming through and thrivingness of those movements,
the optimism. That also, yeah. that song, and I read a little bit about what you had, but I'd like to hear it more from you. This human train.
I know what an incredible story that came from, right?
Oh yeah,
I remember that story too.
Oh good. Yeah, it was those days of cruising the internet trying to find something. Nice, something to make me feel good. And man, you just find one of those stories and it just popped through of a beach in France. And I think it's France. I got to make sure it's France because I keep saying France. They were on the beach and a man was drowning and they knew the help couldn't come fast enough. And everyone on the beach formed a human chain to pull the guy in. And I said, that's who we are. We didn't stop and say, I'm sorry, who do you worship or who do you love or who do you sleep with? You know, none of those things matter. We're humans and we're going to do that. So I really wanted to celebrate that again. You know, it's a celebration and this human chain is, you know, it's a time to come together. You know, let's get past those crazy differences.
Absolutely.
Well, and musically too, I want you to tell us a little bit about being back with John Shanks and recording in Nashville, because like even that song, This Human Chain, it's got like this kind of funky feel to it, but then, you know, you're back to your rock roots on a lot of the stuff too. But what was it like being back with John? Because God, he was with you in your first band, wasn't
ago.
He? Like in the 80s?
I discovered John Shanks in a little bar in L.A., so yes.
Wow.
he's like my little brother, and we have shared so much music over the years. I'm so proud of his and his career. It was actually at a NAMM thing last year. Oh, gosh, that was 2 years ago. I said, John, I'm making an album, and I played him How Far I'd Come, and he said, I want to take this. And it was just so great getting back together with him. He's such a powerful guitar player. And this was, he used to be my lead guitar player. Mm-hmm. And now I'm my lead guitar player. So it was funny. He would play something. I'd go, that's great, John, but I'm going to play the guitar on this. And he'd go, okay. So he really helped me become a better lead guitar player, how to play a solo on an album that you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So he really is a great teacher and a great producer. And the sound of the album just couldn't be any better. I just love it.
And it was pretty much live, right, in the studio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows that that's what I do best. It was myself, the bass player Chris Chaney, and the drummer Victor Andrizzo, and the three of us just put this core of music down in just a couple of days. My goodness, probably about 3 or 4 days.
Oh, you're kidding. That's amazing.
That is fast. And was this the first time you've recorded in Nashville?
I actually didn't record everything in Nashville. I started in Nashville.
Okay.
And yeah, it was the first time. And I was recording at my bass player, David Santos, his studio down in Nashville. I just started there and then came up and finished in L.A.
Got it. Because I know so many people are heading to Nashville to do stuff, whether it's producing or recording or living. It's like the hot place to be.
It's such a rock. It's full of lots of writers and, you know, beautiful people making music there. I love Nashville. It's very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. And you're in Texas today, right?
I am.
Yay.
She's stalking you.
Well, you know, I like to see where people are when they're calling in and, you know. So, I mean, how has the tour been going? Because you've been on the road now for several weeks.
I feel a definite difference since the album came out. There is an excitement. People are looking forward to, ooh, what's she going to do next? I've come around, you know, enough times that people know they're going to get a good show. Now people are like, oh, what's she going to give us now? And so I feel like, wow, I want to rise up to that and really perform for that. And so every night has been super exciting.
Well, how big is your band? Who are you touring with?
Well, it's myself, my bass player, David Santos. I have a drummer, Eric Garner, and a keyboard player who sometimes plays guitar. Max Hart, and that's it. And they are, this is one of the tightest bands I've ever had, and I'm just really enjoying playing with them.
And you're going to be here at the Botanical Garden, August?
In August, yeah. And you played there, I think, 4 years ago, if my research is correct. So do you remember playing there? Because I guess that's kind of a different setting than a lot of your other shows in a theater.
Yes. No, I do. I love playing there, and I love playing Botanical Gardens in general. I love across the nation, a lot of botanical gardens have brought entertainment in, and I love playing there. And the audiences are very comfortable. It's a way to present music to them that they can participate in or lay back and watch. It's just really cool.
It is. It's a very different setting. And you're doing a residency at the Wynn this summer.
Not a residency.
Oh, it's just a couple dates.
I know of. I haven't made that deal yet.
Next up, right? That's exciting, though, just to kind of make your debut at a place like that.
Yeah, it's cool. I like who's running the Wynn now.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
I saw you on Watch What Happens Live the other night, so I have to laugh because they were asking if you'd ever do a residency in Vegas, and you're like, I don't mind that at all. I wouldn't mind that at all. I love that show, and as I was watching you, it was making me think because, Andy is so funny the way he asks anything that he wants to ask. But I thought, since I go so far back with you, I want you just at this last 2 minutes that we have with you, if you don't mind thinking about 1988 and you now.
Oh,
and can you name, like, from 88 to now? Oh, my gosh. We're talking, like, 31?
90, I got to do the math.
20. Yes. 31
years.
31 years. Okay. For that young woman and this lovely, what would we say, middle-aged? I don't even like to say that. We have to come up with some word.
Whatever we are aged.
Name three of the things that you never could have imagined would have happened to you in this life if you were thinking back to 1988.
Oh, that I would...
That you never could have dreamed would have happened.
Oh, that I would have four children.
There you go.
And that I would be legally married. And, because I pretty much dreamed the rest of it, you know.
Did you really? Did you really believe that you would play with Bruce Springsteen and that you would know David Crosby so intimately?
I wanted those. You know what I probably didn't know is that I would be such a big vocal advocate for cannabis. I think that probably would be a big surprise to me, yes.
Did you ever dream that you would know Brad Pitt personally?
Well, back then, who was Brad Pitt? You know, I knew Brad Pitt before he was Brad Pitt. I knew him when he was just this little guy from the Midwest who was a fan of my first record, you know?
Was he really that little back then? I thought he was hot in 1988.
Thelma and Louise was really the breakthrough. I can't remember what year that was.
Yeah.
Early 90s, I think.
It's just very impressive to me because, Brad Pitt's like the punchline for so many girls' dreams. So
I know. It was so funny to be such a good friend and go, oh, gosh, there'd be so many millions of women wishing to, sit here and chit-chat with this guy like I do.
Exactly.
you mentioned your four kids. How does the traveling and the touring and everything work? Do they come out with you or do you just kind of go back and forth at home when you can?
My older kids... they're like in college and off, and so they're having their own lives. But I do have my two younger 12-year-olds, and I share custody of them. So I try not to be gone more than 3 weeks, and then I'm back home. And then in the summertime, they travel with me.
That's cool. That's very cool. They must enjoy that, especially as they're getting older and can experience more stuff.
They love it. Yeah, that's the same with my older kids. They love to travel. They've been to more countries than I have. So it's
that's
crazy.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm just thrilled for you that life is so good and this record is wonderful. What a treat.
Thank you so much. I look forward to getting to Atlanta.
That was fun to talk to her. And Melissa, what has Melissa got coming up this summer?
She's on the road. She just did a whole bunch of shows with Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo.
That would have been a great tour to see together.
Yes. I mean, talk about some
Pat
guitar.
Pat and Neil are 40 years, right?
Yeah. I know. I mean, when you think about all these people, how long it's been sometimes, you're like, wow,
and
I know.
They still...
And
I saw Pat
there.
Benatar and her husband, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They were so freaking great. They're so good to
see
live.
They're so good to see live. I just saw Styx last weekend, and Tommy's in his 60s, and you wouldn't know it from being on stage.
It's wonderful. If you want to see any of these artists, just know. We wouldn't lie to you about this stuff.
No. I mean, some have lost a little bit of a step or two, but most haven't, and she definitely has not. And she picks up her dates in mid-June, and she's going to be on the road all summer. She'll be here in Atlanta on August 17th. She's playing the Botanical Garden. which she has played here before. I mean, we've got so many different venues here, and I think she has played pretty much every one of them of varying sizes, depending on how her career was going
right,
at the time.
Right, right. But so she's going out on the road, and really and truly, The Medicine Show, check it out. It's so good.
It is.
I just fell in love with it all over again.
And she is doing a few songs from that album on tour, but she's also still doing Like the Way I Do and Bring Me Some Water and the big hits from the 93 breakthrough. Yes, I Am is actually in the set list, and I'm the only one, and Come to My Window.
I'm sure is there.
Yeah. I mean, all those songs that you've heard so many times. It got to the point in the 90s, I remember, I could not have a radio station on without hearing a Melissa Etheridge song. And I remember distinctly driving in Florida one time, and I was on the top 40 station. On one was a Melissa Etheridge song, and then the AAA station was a Melissa Etheridge song, like at the same time.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, overkill. And she really did go through that saturation period because that album was so big. But then, you know, she's had such a nice, steady career since then, playing with different people, doing her own thing. And definitely worth checking out live if you haven't already.
Well, hey, we're getting kind of slow on the email. Check us out. Two Girls Talking 11. Those are the numbers, 2 and 11. Two Girls Talking 11 at gmail.com. And you can also always go to our Facebook page and see some pictures. I'll have to drag out one of those old pictures with Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, I want to see that, actually.
It's pretty fun.
I haven't
when
seen
she
that
first
one
started, 1988. Yeah,
that's cool. That's Two Girls Talking To is our
and
Facebook page.
I'm actually wearing a bolo.
Are you really?
Oh, my God.
Well, that was a look that fit the era.
Oh, it
and,
was.
And Texas, where he was interviewing ZZ Top at the same time.
I'm not sure why I was, but I was wearing a bolo.
That's funny.
I remember that about the picture.
You know, we all look back at our fashion choices sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Especially in the 80s.
My fringe jacket.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I had some hair issues in the 80s. So
we all had hair issues in the 80s.
That's true.
Yes. Including Melissa Etheridge. We went blonde at the same time, as I mentioned.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. So we will see you next week. We will be here.
Looking forward to it.